Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now in the middle of Arachin Daf Yod Bet Amud Aleph, continuing with our investigation of the issue of Shira on Olat Nedava, which occasioned the introduction of one of the Braitot from Seder Olam, specifically about the Churban Beit HaMikdash for the first and the second time, and Rabbi Yossi's statement about how bad days just continue to be bad and good days continue to be good. Rabbi Agufer, Rabbi Yossi Omer. So now we'll reinvestigate it from another perspective. Galgalin Shchut Yom Zakai, etc. And in his comment, he stated that Rishonah B'Motzei Shviit, that the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed on the first year of Shemitah, meaning the year after Shemitah. And now the question is, how could that possibly be? And here's the cheshbon. V'aktiv, in one seminal pasuk in Yechezkel Mem, it says, B'asrimachamesh shana legalutinu b'rosh ha-shana b'asor l'chodesh, b'abasur shana achar ha-shukta ha-ir. Now we have this pasuk that pinpoints a time when Yechezkel gets the bad news about certain things about the community, and it's in the 25th year since the exile, which we're going to date to the exile of Yehoyachin, and it's on Rosh Hashanah on the 10th of the month. So the simple read of that is that Rosh Hashanah is a season, so that means in the 10th of the month of Tishrei, the Hanayom Kippur, and Rav Yoel Ben Nun has a beautiful article about Rosh Hashanah, Reshit Hashanah, in which he invokes this pasuk. It is the only time that the phrase Rosh Hashanah appears anywhere in Tanakh, but we're going to learn it a little bit differently in this analysis of the Braita. It's 14 years after the destruction of the city. Now, that differential is constant and is accurate, which is 25 years since the exile, 14 years since the destruction. That's the 11 years during which Tzidkiyahu, was the puppet king of the Babylonians, was ruling in Yerushalayim. Now, here's our analysis. So if you're describing a year as starting on Yom Kippur, then Haviomer is Yovel. It's got to be Yovel. So that's how they are reading this pasuk. Now that means that the year in which Yechezkel reports this, it is Yovel, and it's 14 years after the destruction. If that's the case, if you think that the Mikdash was destroyed in the first year of the Shemitah cycle, then that means 14 years later would be the 15th year of the cycle, and that means that we have to backdate and say that if this is now Yovel, then 14 years earlier is going to be Shemitah itself, or perhaps the year before. Amar Ravina ba'abasir shana achar shana shukta ha'ir. So he says, oh, this thing happened to Yechezkel in the 14 years after the destruction, not the 14th year from the destruction, 14 years after. So it works out perfectly. But then we got another problem. Because if you're going to say it's really 15th year, then that means it's the 26th year since the exile. And we'll explain this. Right now we think this refers to three different stages of exile. But we'll get to that in a minute. Mishavi al tam nisari chad sari. There's 11 years differential between the galut and the destruction. So that means that if you're going to say this is the 15th year, chamesh esrei esrim nishitavin. So that means that it now should be the 26th year, not the 25th year. So Hamalach Ravina, Ravina could answer as follows: Ulidach minecha. And if you don't reckon that it's the 14 years after the destruction, but rather the 14th year of the destruction, still doesn't work. Mechti galunam mechasrei. If there was another exile in the 19th year, mishavat chasrei tartesari. So Ravina is reading that statement about they were exiled in the 7th, 8th, 18th, and 19th as three different exiles: the 8th, the 18th, and the 19th. He said, and that's the case, then you have a differential of 12 years. So you still have the problem that it should be 26, because if you say it's the 14th year, plus 12 is 26. So that means they're not counting the year of the exile, they're starting afterwards. So I'll say the same thing. So we call Makom Chizari the Ravina Kasha, but Ravina still has the problem of the 19th year. What's that? So you're not reading it right. There were three exiles. What does this phrase mean? Galu b'sheva, which means the chibush Yehoyakim. Shishmona the Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of the Babylonian uprising against the Assyrians, destroyed and conquered the city of Nineveh. The next year, conquered Jehoiakim, the king of Yehuda, and 7 years later conquered Jehoiachin with the final conquest of Yerushalayim at that point. And then, so that's still one exile, which is the exile of Jehoiachin was 7 years after the conquest of Jehoiakim, which was also 8 years after the conquest of Nineveh. And 11 years later, which now instead of 7 and 8 become 18 and 19, that's when the destruction of the Mikdash. The first year of Babylon's reign, they conquered Nineveh. The second year he came and conquered Yerushalayim and Jehoiakim. Okay, so that by the way solves the problem of the exile period in the first. But remember in the Paraita it said that in the second Mikdash we have the same scenario that it was the year after Shemitah. How could you have the Tisha B'Av of the year 70 be the year after Shemitah? After all, Mechti by Cheni Kamakam, according to Seder Olam, by Cheni lasted for Arbami Avesrim, 420 years. So now, if you say that they started the count when they rebuilt the Mikdash, then Arbami Atmani Yovli, 400, that's 8 Yovels, right? That's easy. Arbasrei, and if there's another 20 years, so 14 of them is Treshvui, that's 2 Shemitahs, Pashalushit, which means that the 420th year since they started counting should be year 6 of a Shemitah, not year 1 of a Shemitah. How about the Bishita B'Shavua? So the answer is, Hamani Rabbi Yehuda here. The answer is that the author of that Braita, meaning Rabbi Yossi, is following Rabbi Yehuda here. What's Rabbi Yehuda Shita? Damar Shnat Chamishim Ola Lekan Ulekan. That there's really not a 50-year cycle, it's a 49-year cycle, meaning you count 49 years, the 50th year is Yovel, but that 50th year is also the beginning of the next Shemitah cycle, and so therefore 400 years is now not going to be eight Yovels, it's going to be 8 Yovels plus. Aitmanya mitmanya Yovli, so it's 392 years, and therefore you have 28 years left, Vaneshit HaVeyar Besar, so that what that means is, now, the year 70, or 68, whatever your Shita is about the Korban Beit HaMikdash, happened in the first year of Shemitah, if you follow Rabbi Yehuda's way of counting Yovlot. But that's not going to work, because Rabbi Yehuda Rishon al Mishkach Allah. If that's the case, then the first Mikdash could not have been destroyed in the first year of Shemitah, because, Tanya, Shivasa Yovlot Manu Yisro Mishnechsu La'aretz Vad Shiatsu. They counted 17 Yovlot from the time they entered the land until they were exiled. Now let's see how this works. You can't say that they started counting when they entered. That would mean that it was exactly, because 850 years they were in the land, 440 from the time they entered the land until the Mikdash was built. Take a look in Malachim Aleph. And another 410 that the Mikdash stood, that's 850. So 850 divides perfectly into 50 17 times. But if that's the case, the Mikdash is destroyed at the beginning, at the end of a 50-year cycle. V'yata motzeh, b'abasher shana, achar asher uktayir, the pasuk in Yechezkel, clearly dates, at least if we're interpreting Rosh Hashanah correctly, clearly dates the Churban as being 14 years before Yovel. So, el atzemim shavashikim shuvah shavashichilku. So how do we get this proper count? They only started counting Shemitah and Yovlot after 14 years after being in the land, and that 14 years then gets, if you will, paid back at the end of the period. All right, so now, we're going to go back to those 14 years. But that's the bright that gives us the dating from entering the land until the destruction. The problem is, V'Rabbi Yehuda, Aiti Shivsar Mishivsar Yovli. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, remember, we don't have 50-year cycles. We have 49-year cycles. And a 49-year cycle times 17 is going to be 833, not 850. Because for each Yovel, drop 1 year out. Right? So, Shavsai Yovel Shadi Ahani. Havilevit Plata B'Shavua. If that's the case, then the destruction happened in the third year of Shemitah, not in the first year of Shemitah, because figure the 17 years you got to add for, so 2 Yovels, 2 Shemitahs is 14 of them, you got another 3 years. So So we have some new information, which is Sancheriv exiled, as we know, all the tribes in the north. There was a tradition that Yirmiyahu returned them to their land, and that was, of course, quite a while later. And those years that they were out of the land, they just didn't count, because we don't count Yovel unless every tribe is on their land. And therefore, it was like a suspension of Yovel. And now, by the way, no count is going to figure it anyway, because we don't have a starting point that continues consecutively to the ending point. Okay, so that's position one. Position one is that the entire Braita of Rabbi Yossi is based on Rabbi Yehuda's approach to Yovel. But there's another way you could do it, which is to say Le'olam Rabbanan. Really, it's not Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbanan who hold his 50-year cycles. V'chiktani v'chein b'shni ashara. So in other words, we say the Rabbanan work perfectly with the first Beit HaMikdash. They do not work with our understanding, Seder Olam's understanding of a 420-year second Mikdash. But that's okay, because we'll say when they compared the first to the second, it was about other things. Meaning that it was also on a Sunday, and it was also Tisha B'Av, and they're also in the middle of Shira. Okay? Achra Mistabra, and I'll prove to you that the two are not perfectly parallel. There was no Mishmeret of Yehoyariv. The family of Yehoyariv never returned to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, they didn't have a Mishmeret for the second Beit HaMikdash. Only 4 out of the 24 Mishmerot made Aliyah. Yedayev Acharim Pashchur V'Imer. So the Nevi'im among them, we assume Chagai and Zechariah, took these four and gave them all 24 Mishmarot, which means each guy got six. Blalu and Tanu Makalpi, they put the names and put them into a box. And by Yedaya and Atal Chalko, v'chelek chavarav shesh. Yedaya came and pulled out his own and five more, so that he had six. And the other three did the same. And by the way, Yehoyariv's not in there. And they made a rule that Yehoyariv or any of the other Mishmarot, if they finally do make Aliyah, they don't get to come back. They're lost. Which means that in Bayit Sheni there was no Mishmarot of Yehoyariv, which means now that the comparison in the Braita between Bayit Mishmar and Bayit Sheni is certainly incomplete. So the answer is that the comparison between Bayit Rishon Bayit Sheni or the Churbanot is partial, and therefore the issue of Motzei Shvit can also not work in both cases. Now, Rav Ashi has a different take. Hanach Shit Shani Ad Salik Ezra Makdish Lo Kachashiv Lahu. In Seder Olam's figuring, Ezra made Aliyah almost immediately after the building the Mikdash. And so they did not count the 6 years until Ezra made Aliyah and sanctified. That's when they stopped the building, because the Shomronim wrote a letter to Koresh. So the way they're reading it is that this happened with Ezra, and that it was the third of Adar in the sixth year of Daryavish, which historians will tell you is 515 BCE. That's when it was built. And that Ezra came the next year, and that's when they start counting. It's the seventh year of the king. Probably it's not the same king, but that's again a Seder Olam issue. Alright, so therefore, Rav Ashi has another solution, which is there's 6 years that are missing in Bayit Sheni, and therefore that's where the year could be the first year, even according to Rabbanan, even in the second Mikdash, in the first year of Shemitah. Now, Gufa, Shivasa Yevlot Manu Yisrael Mishnechzu La'aretz Ve'adshi, Atzu V'yatay Achol Omar Shnechzu Manu, Shatom Shnechzu Manu, Nimsa Bayit Chayim Tchilat Yovel, V'yatam Motzei Aras Ve'shana Achar Ashokta Ayir. So in the Braita that we had earlier, it said there were 17 Yovelot that counted from the time they entered, but you can't say they started at the beginning, because then, since the Mikdash was destroyed 850 years after they crossed into the land, you then don't have another 14 years to get to the Pasuk in Yechezkel. So the answer they gave was that they only started counting after 14 years, 7 of conquest and 7 of dividing the land. Sheva Shekib Shumanalan, this is a sugi we had in Zvachim. How do you know that there were 7 years of conquest? The Kamar Kalev, and 40 Shana Nochi Yishloach Otim al Shevet Adonai, Mikadesh Panil Agel Ta'aretz. It tells Yoshua, I was 40 years old when Moshe sent you and me on our mission to, and when I came back, he promised me Chevron. This is when Kalev comes to Yeshua and says, give me Chevron. And he said, now I'm 85 years old and I'm strong as I was then. Now, let's figure the math. That means it's 45 years just when they finished conquering the land, it's 45 years since the spy mission. V'yamamar, or the scout mission. Shana rishana asa Moshe mishkan, shniyahu kam mishkan v'shalach raglim. The raglim were sent out during the second year, meaning a year and a half or so after the left Mitzrayim, the raglim were sent. So it was already from then on 38 years till they entered the land, 38 and a half. So if that's the case, how old was Kalev when they crossed the Yarden? If he was 40 when he went on the mission, add 38, Bartmana Nechitarti. 80 minus 2, it's 78. Kamaflig Nachalod, when they're dividing up the property of the land, Ka'amar ben Chameshurim Shananochi, he says, I'm 85 years old. Meaning, Ishtakak Tosheva Shekivshu, there's 7 years between 78 and 85, so it took 7 years to fight. So how do we know that there were 7 years of dividing the land? So this again is all in the end of Zvachim. If there were seven of this, there were seven of that, which is a little bit of a strange assumption. That the only way for us to come out with 14 years from the destruction till the next Yovel is to say that they only started counting Shvitin Yovelot 14 years after entering. So if there's seven of Kibush, got to be seven of Chalukah. Okay, the next Mishnah. Again, this is the range of no less than and no more than. Again, in the Mikdash, we have no fewer than six tla'im, six lambs that have been investigated for mumim in the where they keep the lambs. Kedei the Shabbat le'yamim tov b'shur Rosh Hashanah. Enough for Shabbat and two yamim tovim. It's consider a tamid every day, two tamidin every day. Times three is six. Mosifin aralam, you can have as many as you want. Unlike the earlier piece where we had a maximum, here's no maximum. There's no less than two cornets in the Mikdash. Nine harps. These are small hand harps. They count as many as they want. But there's one symbols. We'll see. It's symbols. Now, wait a second. How could you say six is enough for Shabbat and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? There's lots of musafin. There's two on Shabbat, and there's seven lambs on Rosh Hashanah. That's a lot. The answer is Tana Ba'almakai. The Tana is not talking about Shabbat and Rosh Hashanah. He's talking about, in general, midweek, on a week, regular week, he's just talking about Tmidin. You need 3 days of Tmidin. So why does he say Shabbat and 2 days of Yom Tov? It's like a mnemonic. Meaning, you have to have at least six lambs that have been checked before you do Shechita, and they have to be there for 4 days. Umani ben Bagbag here, and this all follows Ben Bagbag, the Tanya. Ben Bagbag Omer, Minayim Atamid Shtun Bikur, Bayimim Korim Shchita. How do we know that the Korban Tami needs Bikur Dalad Yomi, as referred to it, has to be checked and investigated and held for 4 days before Shchita? Tamil Lomar, Tishmeru Lakriv Liba Moado, about the Korban Tamid, it's Tishmeru. And Omer, Rayelachim the Mishmeret, when you take the Korban Pesach into the house, which is on the 10th, and you're going to offer it on the 14th, there's your 4 days. It's called a mishmeret. Mishmeret, tishmeru, and Rabbi Sayyam, l'chodesh rishon, l'chodesh hazeh, malalan tu'um bikur, abayamim korim shchita, afkan tu'um bikur, abayamim korim shchita. So just like the Pesach in Mitzrayim needed 4 days of bikur, similarly the tamid. The Kanami, and we can also prove that our read of the Mishnah is correct, that it isn't the korbanot for Shabbat and Yom Tov, but just as a reminder, Diktani Kedei l'Shabbat, V'loktani l'Shabbat. It says, as much as if it were for Shabbat and Yom Tov, but not for Shabbat. Shema Mina. Okay, Shtei Chazot, Nosifir, Tzer of Yad Kama. How many Chatzotot can you have? You're right, you said no max, but there's got to be a max. Funa Amelam Rav Zvav Diem Rav Huna. Ad Me'av Esrim. It's a nice bracha. 120 cornets. Sounds like the music man. Shenemar, Shemahem Kohanim Lameav Esrim Machatzrim Machatzotzrod. In Divrayimim, we find it's such a description of 120. Mitzisha Kino wrote, Tzaltzalavat. Mananim Yili, how do we know that Tzaltzal is only one? Ravasa Makrava Asaf Mitzaltayim. Mashmia, Asaf is playing the Mitzaltayim. The problem is Mitzaltayim sounds like a pair of something, not a single. Mitzaltayim Treyavu. The answer is Kevin Khada Avita Avdi Vachad Gavra Avid Bahu Karilhuchad. Since they do one thing and one person does them, they're two symbols that are actually held together by a band, and you crash them together, so it's called one thing. So therefore it's one siltzal. Okay, the last Mishnah on the Perek, again the range, Ein Pochtin Mishne Masar Levi'im Omdim Al Duchan. We have no fewer than 12 Levi'im standing on the pedestal singing. Mosifin Adolam. Again, you can have as many as you want. Now we're little bit doing a tangent about the Shira in a Katan Nichas Lazara Avodah Lebashar Shalvim Amim Bashir, meaning a Levi who is a minor cannot come in to sing unless the adult Levim are already singing and he joins them. The kids would not play instruments. They would sing. Why? They would make the sound beautiful, like spices. In other words, they had high, reedy voices, and so they would make the music sound nicer. These kids do not count towards the 12 minimum, and they also did not go up on the pedestal. Rather, they would stand below. And their heads would be among the feet of the Levim, meaning they'd be below them. Now, Tsarim in Tanakh actually means helpers. But the way that we're reading it is, they were like pests, the pests of the Levim. That's what they would call them. We'll see something at the end of the Gemara about that. Okay, Hani Kenegan Mi. So when you say there's 12 Levim, what does that correspond to? So the obvious answer is not the one they take. Anytime you have a 12, what does that correspond to? Papa Kenegan Tisha Kinarot, Shnei Nevelim Tzitzal Echad. Corresponding to the 12 instruments that we mentioned as the minimum. Shema Hu, V'Acham V'Nav Shnei Masar. So you have 12 Levim, they're playing. Singing, and then the Chazal Zoral Avodah L'Shash Alvim etc. Manahani Yeli. How do we know that you can only come in when the adults are there? Damar Krav Emod Yeshua Banav Ve'Echav Kadmiel Uvanav Bnei Yudah Ke'Echav Manatzeich Al Hamalacha. In other words, that the Levim only they brought the kids in. The kids didn't come in on their own. Now, notice that the Mishnah refers to Nevel and Kinor separately. So they're wondering, is the Nevel and Kinor really different things? After all, aren't they both sort of liars? So we might need to look Rabbi Yehuda. So it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda would disagree. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kinor shel Mikdash shel Shivat Nimin Haya. In the Mikdash, it was a seven-stringed lyre. Shemar Sova Smachot et Panecha, and don't read Sova Ela Sheva, meaning seven things, you use seven to rejoice in front of you, the seven strings. When Mashiach comes, there'll be an eight-string lyre. Shinamal Mashiach ala Shminit. Shminit really is an eight-string lyre. Al Nimah Shminit means we will celebrate on the eighth string. Shal Olam Haba Eser. Olam Haba, the spiritual world, it's Es Shinamar. Alei Asor Alei Nava Alei Higayon Bechinor. It's called an Asor. But notice that Rabbi Yehuda is using Nevel and Kinor interchangeably. This pasuk mentions Nevel, and he says that is came as a Kinor. When is there a Shir Chadash? That's when Olam Haba. So the answer is Afilatim Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Yehuda might agree that Nevel and Kinor are different. Meaning that really this thing is called a kinor, but the minute you put 10 strings on it, it sounds as beautiful as a navel, which evidently is a little bit more complex and sounds more beautiful than a kinor. Okay, kari the navel. Now, Rolazim and Yaakov and Merah, Eno Lumna Minyan, etc. We said that the kids do not count towards the Minyan of 12. And they would come in and they would stand with their, stand up so that their heads were where the legs of the Levim were. And it was called it So'ari Alvim. Tana the So'adei Alvim Ayunikrain. We have another version that says they were called So'adei Alvim, meaning the Levim's helpers. So Tana down, what does our Tana say? Kevon Dahani Katin Kalayu, since these kids had nice, reedy voices and they could modulate. Vani Av Kalayu, and the adults had thicker voices and deeper voices. Hani the Katati, Vani the Makatati. Therefore, the kids would kind of modulate their voices and the others couldn't. So they were troublemakers because they made the adults sound bad. These kids sounded better. In any case, that's why the name changed from So'adei to Tso'arei. Hadran alach in ne'rachin, we've successfully completed our study of the second parak of Arachin. We'll begin Yesh Parachin Lakel Lachmir, in which we will again experience a series of tangential mishnayot that take a pattern and build with it. In the meantime, wish everybody a wonderful day.